Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Matt Taylor is the radio voice of the Indianapolis Colts, and he joins us now from the Bay Area. And Matt, the Colts had to get right back on this horse, so to speak, on the national stage in prime time in a difficult place to play against a team that always is physical and tough. Plus, Indy starts off at a 9-0 hole. How important was this win and this night for the Colts?
I thought it was a massive win for the Colts. It was important on a lot of levels. You know, the Colts have been playing some really good football lately, Amy. But the naysayers around, you know, these parts, the Midwest, Colts country, if you will, you know, the objective fans have been saying, all right, you got two wins, but they've come lately against Miami and the Houston Texans. Neither of those teams is probably going to amount to much here in 2021 in terms of making the playoffs. But, you know, Amy, if you've been following the Colts, it's just been drama since the start of the season in terms of injuries, you know. The second day of training camp, Carson Wentz goes out with a foot, and he has to have surgery. And then All-Pro guard Quentin Nelson has the same exact problem, has the same surgery done by the same doctor the next day. I mean, it was just wild. And then, you know, that kind of set the tone for the first 6 weeks of the season, if you will, at the start of camp, you know, just littered with injuries. And it was, you know, it's just top guys, you know, guys that the Colts can, quite frankly, ill afford to lose. And so, you know, training camp, they really didn't get a lot out of it, to be honest with you, because a lot of their main players were out. They just didn't build a lot of synergy and cohesion. So the first part of the schedule was just such a gauntlet. You know, you had to play the Seahawks, the Rams, Tennessee, you know, Miami won 10 games last year. Baltimore made the playoffs last year. And so the Colts just weren't able to navigate that because they were kind of doing training camp over again in terms of injuries and, you know, getting time on task with one another. So it was almost like the month of September was training camp 2.0. And now they're to the point, Amy, where they're kind of hitting their stride, you know, later than they wanted to. But at least it's happening now. They're playing really, really good football. And this win tonight kind of validates that stretch of good football against a team that's, I think, pretty good. You know, I understand they're 2-4 now, but you know, San Francisco's, you know, not that too long ago, they were in the Super Bowl in 2019. So they got some good parts. And, you know, you do it on a national stage. You do it in prime time after what happened a couple of weeks ago against the Baltimore Ravens, where the Colts unfortunately let that 19-point lead slip away. So it's good to get back on prime time, good to get a win, and kind of tell the nation that, you know, the Colts they're going to be around. They're going to hang around here in 2021 and hopefully make the playoffs.
Something I learned by listening to your broadcast tonight, Matt, is that the Colts defense leads the NFL in fumble recoveries, and there were four total turnovers, a lot more fumbles than that, but four total turnovers by San Francisco. So takeaways for the Colts, not to mention they had over 100 penalty yards. And so the Colts defense played a great game. How critical is this surge of the defense in kind of providing a foundation for these Colts to get back to .500?
I thought it was a massive win for the Colts. It was important on a lot of levels. You know, the Colts have been playing some really good football lately, Amy, but the naysayers around, you know, these parts, the Midwest, Colts country, if you will, you know, the objective fans have been saying, all right, you got two wins, but they've come lately against Miami and the Houston Texans. Neither of those teams is probably going to amount to much here in 2021 in terms of making the playoffs. But, you know, Amy, if you've been following the Colts, it's just been drama since the start of the season in terms of injuries. You know, The second day of training camp, Carson Wentz goes out with a foot, and he has to have surgery. And then All-Pro guard Quentin Nelson has the same exact problem, has the same surgery done by the same doctor the next day. I mean, it was just wild. And then, you know, that kind of set the tone for the first 6 weeks of the season, if you will, at the start of camp, you know, just littered with injuries. And it was, you know, it's just top guys, you know, guys that the Colts can, quite frankly, ill afford to lose. And so, you know, training camp, just they just really didn't get a lot out of it, to be honest with you, because a lot of their main players were out. They just didn't build a lot of synergy and cohesion. So the first part of the schedule was just such a gauntlet. You know, you had to play the Seahawks, the Rams, Tennessee. You know, Miami won 10 games last year. Baltimore made the playoffs last year. And so the Colts just didn't – they weren't able to navigate that because they were kind of doing training camp over again in terms of injuries and, you know, getting time on task with one another. So it was almost like the month of September – was training camp 2.0, and now they're to the point, Amy, where they're kind of hitting their stride, you know, later than they wanted to, but at least it's happening now. They're playing really, really good football, and this win tonight kind of validates that stretch of good football against a team that's, I think, pretty good. You know, I understand they're 2-4 now, but, you know, San Francisco's, you know, not that too long ago, they were in the Super Bowl in 2019, so they got some good parts. And, you know, you do it on a national stage. You do it in prime time after what happened a couple of weeks ago against the Baltimore Ravens, where the Colts unfortunately let that 19-point lead slip away. So it's good to get back on prime time. Good to get a win and kind of tell everybody, tell the nation that, you know, the Colts are – they're going to be around. They're going to hang around here in 2021 and hopefully make the playoffs.
Something I learned by listening to your broadcast tonight, Matt, is that the Colts defense leads the NFL in fumble recoveries, and there were four total turnovers, a lot more fumbles than that, but four total turnovers by San Francisco. So takeaways for the Colts, not to mention they had over 100 penalty yards. And so the Colts defense played a great game. How critical is this surge of the defense in kind of providing a foundation for these Colts to get back to 500?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, the Colts defense has been playing great. I mean, it really, outside of that, you know, 18-minute stretch there at the end of that Baltimore game, they've had a great season. And so takeaways is their hallmark, Amy. You know, they talk about it incessantly. I mean, at the beginning of the season, their goal was 40 takeaways, and that's obviously pretty lofty. It hasn't been done in the NFL since 2012. But in the last couple of games, they have 7 takeaways dating back to last Sunday when they had 3 against the Houston Texans. And like you said, they lead the NFL in fumble recoveries. They have won in every game so far this season.
Wow.
A couple of tonight. And, you know, it's just when they fly to the ball, they gang tackle. It's one of those things where the first guy comes in and holds up the player. You know, guy 2, guy 3 come in for the strip. And they have sort of perfected that art under Matt Eberflus. You know, he's been here since 2018, and they're routinely in the top 10 in terms of just total takeaway. So tonight was just an absolute mess weather-wise. You watched the game. I mean, it was just driving rain the entire time. And so you had a lot of, you know, just drop snaps at the line of scrimmage, quarterbacks under center. You had receivers that couldn't catch the ball. You know, it was just kind of one of those nights. So not surprising, it led to a lot of turnovers. But obviously the Colts took advantage of that, took advantage of some short fields after the defense got takeaways. The offense had 20 points off of takeaways. So that's what you have to do in a game like this. And it wasn't pretty. It was 30-18. You know, certainly the Colts left a lot of moments on the field. Could have been more in terms of offensive output. But, hey, a win is a win in the NFL.
Yes.
You don't apologize for it, especially with how bad the weather was tonight.
And on the road, Matt Taylor is the radio voice of the Indianapolis Colts, fresh off the Sunday night football game in the Bay Area. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Carson Wentz, as you mentioned, spent a good portion of training camp being hurt. Then in a game in the first month, he sprains both ankles. I didn't even know that was possible in the same game, but he does that, continues on, and is kind of battling through a lot of different stuff, not to mention getting used to new guys on the line, different weapons, and everything that comes with changing teams. Where do you feel like he turned a corner to the point where he's playing a lot better now, Matt?
Yeah, I think it was that Miami game. I mean, you talked about that Tennessee game where he's playing on 2 hobbled ankles. I mean, he went out there and gutted it out. So I think that game sort of started the respect level at a really high intensity level in terms of like what his teammates are looking at in terms of his leadership and his courage, you know, just to go out there and be available for his team. But I think that next week against Miami, he was playing a little bit more healthy on those ankles. I think now those ankle injuries are completely behind him based on, you know, his physical, you know, athleticism that we're seeing. But I think that Miami game, man, he really, you know, had some nice throws, some deep connections. And that's what we're seeing here in this four-week stretch of football, Amy. The Colts have six passing plays over 50 yards in the last four games. And so he is an incredible deep ball thrower. And the most impressive thing about Carson is that, again, he's getting more time on task. He is getting healthier, but the synergy is there. He is pushing the ball down the field. You mean consistently getting, you know, chunk plays, but at the same time, he's taking care of the football. So he's not being reckless in the deep shots down the field. You know, you saw a couple of those tonight to Michael Pittman Jr., those 50-50 balls that he's throwing up there, kind of trusting his guy to go up and make a play and high point the ball. So that's the thing to me is it's the interceptions are way down. I mean, right now he only has one interception on the season. His interception rate on the year is tops in the NFL. Going into tonight's game, it was only 0.5. And keep in mind, I mean, this is a guy that led the interception or led the NFL last year in picks,
right.
15, and he didn't even play a full season. He only played 13 games last year. So this is what we typically see with Frank Reich. And unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, Colts fans are sort of used to this because they've had a new starting quarterback five straight years. But every time a guy comes in and works with Frank, he sort of puts his quarterback magic on these guys, and they really improve in a key area, whether it's interceptions or just total yards or yards per attempt or completion percentage. We saw it last year with Rivers. We saw it with Jacoby Brissett. We saw it in 18 with Andrew Luck. And Carson Wentz looks like a completely different quarterback right now compared to the guy that, you know, got kicked out of Philadelphia by the fans.
How have you seen that relationship and the rapport with Michael Pittman come along? That's obviously been really important for the success of their offense in the last few games.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the big plays. He's sort of that leader, that catalyst pushing the ball down the field. And like I said, they trust Michael Pittman to just go up there and kind of box out his defender and make a play on the ball. And he's routinely done that this season. He's got two 100-yard games. And, you know, he's another guy that I think has really jumped in this last month because he's having more time on the field, both in practice and the games, with Carson Wentz. And they just didn't have any of that time on the field together in the month of August and the early part of September. I mean, you had injuries, you had a COVID situation. Like I said, it was just a lot of drama with this football team to start the year. So more time on the field together is helping. But Michael Pittman Jr., he's just a big-bodied receiver. The Colts love that about him coming out of USC. You know, his dad played in the NFL. He's a running back, you know, in the 90s. And so it's good football genes, good football lineage, if you will. And Michael Pittman Jr., he's proving himself to be, I think, the future at wideout for the Colts. T.Y. Hilton's still here. Didn't play tonight. He was banged up a little bit with a quad. But I think Michael Pittman Jr. is proving that he is the Colts' top target now and probably for the foreseeable future.
I know that the Colts are in the same division as one of the all-world running backs that we've seen in this current era of the NFL in Derrick Henry. But Jonathan Taylor is making a name for himself, too, in that division. And, man, when he runs well, gets over 100 yards, it seems like the Colts are so much better when they have him along with the way that Carson is playing.
I mean, he's incredible. I mean, I know Derrick Henry is, he's a superstar, and he's sort of the face of the ground game of the National Football League. He's on pace to set all the records that he set last year, you know, over 2,000 rushing yards probably for the second straight season. But Jonathan Taylor, I think, is a top five back. I think he's an absolute stud, a star in the making if he's not there already. I mean, as you alluded to, he's over 100 scrimmage yards in four straight games.
Yes.
The Colts are now 6-0. When he goes over 100 yards on the ground dating back to last year. And you're right, that offense, I mean, you better think two numbers. And we already talked about the first one. That's 11. That's Michael Pittman in the passing game, and think 28 in the ground game. And when those two guys are the stars of the show on offense, you know, that offense seems to be clicking pretty well. It just sets everything up. And he's, Amy, just a perfect blend of speed and power and vision. And two, not that this is the end-all, be-all, but when you talk to this guy, he is I've been working for the Colts for 10, 11 years. He's by far the most impressive character guy I've come across in that locker room. He blows me away. The intelligence, his intellect, he's thoughtful. I mean, he's polite. I mean, you can tell he was just raised the right way. He's got a tremendous mindset, and he can do everything. I mean, coming into the game, Amy, he had the longest rush in the NFL. That was an 83-yarder against the Texans last week, and he had the fourth longest catch. So when he has the ball out in space, I mean, he's like a wide receiver with that, you know, 4.3 40 speed that he has. So he's a superstar, and obviously, you know, the Colts offense in a game like tonight in the sludge, it had to go through Jonathan Taylor, and it worked out.
From Colts Radio, Matt Taylor with us after a big victory in San Francisco, or actually in Santa Clara, but in the Bay Area, and three wins now in four games for the Colts. And Matt, I've been really impressed. I'm always impressed with Frank Reich and how it seems like he remains positive. He's looking for the silver lining. He's looking for the moments and those factors that would show that the Colts are on the right track. Who else provides that leadership with this locker room, though? Because things were bleak at the beginning.
I mean, you start 0-3, and we know about the probability of 0-3 teams going on to make the playoffs, and I think that's why tonight's game was really important too, because you got to stay within striking distance of Tennessee. I mean, everybody keeps thinking Tennessee's going to come back to reality, but they just keep beating, you know, playoff contenders and AFC contenders, in my opinion, in back-to-back weeks, and Buffalo and Kansas City. And so, despite all that, there was just no panic in the Colts locker room. And, you know, it's kind of a catch-22, a little bit of a silver lining, because not that long ago, in 2018, the Colts were in a similar situation, right?
Right.
They were 1-5 that year and then ripped off 9-10 to make the playoffs as a wild card team. So they kind of drew from that experience. But just bigger picture, like you said, Frank Reich, he's a pretty even-keeled guy. Even when they win, he doesn't get too high and then doesn't, you know, freak out over the losses, kind of is able to put things into perspective. But other guys in the locker room do a really good job of that as well. I think Carson Wentz in short order is kind of like that. I know Darius Leonard in the Colts locker room is like that at his middle linebacker position. And I can't say enough about the culture that DeForest Buckner has brought to that defense. And it's fitting that we're talking about him tonight against his former team in San Francisco. But Darius Leonard, when your best players are your hardest workers and your best leaders, that's going to set the tone for your locker room. And so the Colts have a lot of guys that do that, but those two guys specifically on defense, Leonard and Buckner, they were able to kind of stay steady, make sure guys weren't jumping ship. They had a players-only meeting after that third loss of the season after Tennessee. And you know how those go. I mean, the coaches aren't around. You can say things that you normally wouldn't say to your teammates, just to kind of set the tone for, hey, we need to start rebounding and we need to start playing better football. They're capable of that. And positively, you know, these last four games, this last month or so, the Colts are showing that, you know, that they were an 11-5 team last year and they have the potential to rebound after starting 0-3 this season.
Being back to 500 makes such a big difference. It's like a mini reward for all the hard work you've done and kind of a payoff too. And so that's where the Colts are after a victory in primetime. And Matt Taylor was there in the booth for the Colts on their radio network. You can follow him on Twitter at @MayTayColts. And it's always good to catch up with you. Thanks so much for squeezing us in, Matt.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Amy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.